Last year's spike in property tax bills hit homeowners across Ohio. The state's county auditors say they have solutions to the problem. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about that solution, those solutions, and what they could mean for the public schools in the state are Hamilton County Auditor Jessica Miranda. Welcome back, Auditor Miranda.
Thank you, Lucy. It's great to be here with you today.
Great to have you. And Montgomery County Auditor Carl Keith. Thanks for being here, Auditor Keith.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
We also have Ohio Education Association President Scott DeMauro. Welcome back, Scott.
Good to be with you.
Great to have you here. So I want to start with something very basic, a question I'm sure both of you auditors have answered many times before. I'll ask you, Auditor Miranda, as simply as you can, why did we see this spike in property taxes and where did all that money go?
Yeah, so thank you for that question, Lucy. We have seen this spike because what auditors are mandated to do by the state is appraise all real property parcels at fair market value. So market values are going to ebb and flow just with the market and as the market does. And it just so happened that this last one we did here in Hamilton County in 2023 made those a little bit higher than what we're used to because the market was really, really good.
And did you see that same effect in Montgomery County?
Oh, yeah. I think we're seeing that across the state, across the country, really. I mean, I ran out of words to describe the housing market. It's hot, robust, you know, off the charts. And so, yeah, we're seeing values go up in our county by an average of 34%.
Wow. And Auditor Keith, where does that money go once all that, you know, people are saying, oh, my gosh, I'm paying all this extra money. Where's it going?
So, you know, the should clarify one thing. Even though the values are going up 34%, they wouldn't necessarily mean the taxes are going up 34%. So that varies depending on what taxing district you're going to. So it really just goes as it normally does. About 60 to 70% of every tax dollar goes to your local schools. You know, the rest, it gets divided up between townships and cities and villages. And as the auditors, we're responsible for distributing those funds based upon the levies that have been approved by the voters.
Mm-hmm. Scott, how did schools react to, I mean, was that a windfall for schools? And I guess I wonder if it's needed to fund critical services like public schools and these other government functions, is it a reality we need to face to some degree that sometimes property taxes are going to be higher?
I mean, that is true, but I'll tell you, we have a very complicated property tax system in the state of Ohio. And one of the provisions in our law is known as House Bill 920, which really limits the ability of districts to collect inflationary increases on taxes just because there might be an increase in value. And so the impact of this is very uneven. And the reality is that school districts are still struggling to keep up with rising inflationary costs just to run our programs and our buildings. And what we need more than anything else is for the state legislature to do its job, fulfill its constitutional responsibility, and make sure that all of our public schools are fully and fairly funded across the state.
School funding is certainly another big discussion that we've had on this program before. Auditor Miranda, the County Auditors Association of Ohio is making four recommendations for property tax relief. Let's start with the homestead exemption. Walk us through that one.
Yeah, so the homestead exemption has not kept up with inflation, and that's problem number one. And it also has its income limit back onto it, which is problem number two. The income limit, in our humble opinion, as the County Auditors Association of Ohio, needs to be increased, or in my humble opinion, aside from my association, just eliminated in totality, so that those folks who are our aging Ohioans, which are the ones who are on fixed incomes and hurting the most from their new property tax bills, can get some instant relief. It's literally the easiest thing state lawmakers could do to give us real property tax relief. And unfortunately, nothing has been done about that yet. So that's our first and most important, I would say, pillar of our solutions that we've testified for at the state house level.
And it sounds like you're saying the people who would benefit the most from that are older Ohioans. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It's for 65 and older. And it currently has an income limit on it, which really, you know, annexes a lot of folks out from benefiting from that tax exemption right now. So we either need to eliminate that like it was back when Governor Strickland was in office, or we need to increase that so that it helps and spreads the love to more folks in the community.
And what's the income limit now, and what is the association saying it should be increased to?
Right now it's 36.2, right, Carl?
Yes.
Yeah, so 36,200. So as you could imagine, that's not a lot.
Right.
And that boxes a lot of people out from taking full advantage of that tax exemption.
Mm-hmm. And you'd like to see it increased to a particular number, or have you thrown a number out there?
We have not thrown a number out,
okay.
But, you know, 50, 60, I'm like Auditor Miranda, I'd like to see there be no income. You know, it was when there was no income restriction, it was a lot easier to administer. It was a lot easier for people to understand. And we didn't have to go through an explanation of what is considered income and what isn't. Because one thing that's confusing about it, Social Security benefits are not considered income for the calculation. So a lot of people qualify, but they didn't realize they qualify.
Ah, that is confusing. We're talking about property tax reform and what proposed changes would mean for public school funding. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. I know your Auditors Association also is advocating eliminating the non-business tax credit and expanding the owner occupancy credit. Which of you would like to explain how that would work?
I will let my esteemed, illustrious colleague, Auditor Keith, take that one.
Yeah, you know, there's been, just like the homestead credit, you know, has not been adjusted or seriously increased, expanded since 2007. I mean, it's gone 16 years without any expansion. The owner occupancy credit's the same way. There's a 2.5% credit that owner occupied property receives in Ohio. That's been in place since the early 70s. And so, yeah, these are things my colleague, you know, mentioned, things that we can do immediately that would have immediate relief. So increasing that owner occupancy credit is something that could be done immediately, and people would get some immediate relief from that. And so, yeah, we would like to see the non-business credit eliminated completely. You could eliminate that and just add it to the owner occupancy credit and accomplish the same thing, with an expanded amount.
Okay. The auditor's third recommendation relates to school district revenue. I'm saying that in a way that's way overly simplistic, I know. It's very complicated. Auditor Miranda, how would that proposal work?
Yeah, so it's about the 20 mil floor. The problem with this point, well, I shouldn't say the problem. It is one of the points of our advocacy, our four pillars of the County Auditors Association of Ohio. However, the state lawmakers didn't put in the third phase of the Fair School Funding Plan in the budget in the House. The budget is still in the Senate. We still have the opportunity to fix that and remedy that problem. So I would like to see that problem remedied before I continue to advocate on that third point, because what we're doing is it's a constant barrage, a constant assault on public schools and their funding. And we can't keep doing that and expecting the burden to increase on homeowners, right? We have to have the state put in their fair share for school funding. It is our constitutional duty, as Scott mentioned. And until we do that, we will not see lasting property tax relief on our homeowners. So I really, really hope folks that are listening will contact their state senators and tell them to put phase three of the Fair School Funding Plan back in, because state leaders can't have it both ways. They can't tell our schools that they're not fiscally responsible enough and then punish them for being fiscally responsible in all of these things that they are doing in that state budget. So that's where I'll leave it at that. Carl, if you want to add anything there.
You wanted to add it?
Well, the 20 mil floor issue, as property values have gone up significantly, that's really brought to light just how unfair and inequitable the school funding issue is. And it all, you know, you said you talked about school funding before. I've been auditor now for a number of years, and every time we go through one of these updates, I'm always reminded by property owners, didn't the Supreme Court say that property taxes are unconstitutional? You know, we've never fully addressed that issue. And so this is part of that. It's part of it. But, you know, it doesn't do any good to villainize the schools as a result. The schools need the funding, and we've not properly fixed that issue. And so it comes to play in all of this.
Scott, I want to get your thoughts on this. Let's start with, rather than talking about this proposal that the auditors are making, there's this proposal in the Ohio House version of the budget that Auditor Miranda just referred to cap school districts' savings accounts, essentially. I know that's overly simplified, but explain how that would work, Scott.
Yeah, what the House did is that they came up with an arbitrary number. Originally, they proposed 25%. They tweaked it a little bit to 30%, but basically said that in order to address property tax relief, they were going to do it on the backs of schools. And so if any district had more than 30% of their budget in savings carried over to the next year, then they were going to require counties to go after those districts and adjust their tax rates for next year in order to essentially claw that back. That amounts to a cut of over $4 billion for school districts across the state. And what it does is create chaos for districts. You know, it would result in just crippling reductions in district programs in a lot of places. And I think very importantly, it's not a serious approach to property tax relief. It would be highly inequitable. You know, you may have somebody in one district that gets a big one-year reduction in their taxes, and in another district, they get nothing at all because of the arbitrary nature of this provision. So we have real concerns about that. We think it undermines local control. It undermines the will of the voters who pass levies that are being collected. And, you know, we really do believe that the legislature's primary responsibility, and I appreciate Auditor Miranda's comments on this, is to finish the job on the Fair School Funding Plan. And then let's get serious about a targeted, comprehensive, strategic way to address property tax relief for those people who need it.
Scott, just briefly, why would some school districts have more than 30% of their budget in their savings account, essentially? I'm sure I'm not saying that right, but why would some school districts be over that 30% threshold?
Well, for one thing, it's good fiscal practice to maintain savings, just like in our own household accounts. We know that it's important to plan for a rainy day and to not be deficit spending. But districts really have all different kinds of reasons. It may be because a district recently passed a levy that is projected to last a certain period of time. And so the amount of reserves the first year are going to look very different than the amount of reserves that they have the last year. There could be some leftover federal relief funds that still haven't been spent down. It's possible that a district is budgeting for an anticipated influx of students, or maybe there's a capital project and they have some money in their operating funds to address implementing that. It could be any number of things. But again, what the legislature is proposing to do is a one-size-fits-all sledgehammer approach that really isn't going to do anything to meaningfully address property tax relief and will cause very significant harm on kids all across the state.
Auditor Keith, what do you think about that proposal? Auditor Miranda referenced it earlier and didn't think very highly of it. What do you think of it, not only in terms of the impact on schools, but what it would mean for homeowners, for people who pay property taxes?
Well, first of all, as Scott just alluded to, you know, having a healthy carryover balance is just good, sound fiscal policy. And for a lot of not only school districts, but other entities, counties and townships, cities, you know, having that carryover balance helps them deal with cash flow issues at different points of the year. And if they have any kind of a debt service issue, if they've borrowed money or anything, a lot of their debt service requirements require them to have a carryover balance of 25 or 30% as part of the indenture. So some of this is required because it's good, sound fiscal policy. And it's certainly not tax relief. As was said, you know, it may give you 1 year of tax relief, but then the next year we're going to adjust it back, and it creates a yo-yo approach. And so for the homeowner, for the taxpayer, it's like, oh, I might got some relief this year. Some of us might have got some relief this year, but then next year my tax bill is going to go way up. And so it makes it difficult for them to budget, and it's just not sound fiscal policy.
Yeah. Auditor Miranda, you're a former state lawmaker yourself. What are you hearing about what state senators are planning to do? Have you heard whether there's interest in keeping that 30% threshold or whether they're looking at other alternatives?
Well, I appreciate my state senator, Senator Blessing, who came out in a Dayton Daily News article, I believe it was, and said that, you know, we cannot do this and that at the same time. We can't do two pieces of unsound fiscal policy and expect schools to survive and expect to give really any true tangible property tax relief to people in Ohio. You know, like we said at the top of the program, we've identified four strong pillars. We have testified for hours at length in the State House to the property tax committee, albeit. And unfortunately, none of the proposals that are outlined in this budget are any of the things that came out of that committee. So I think we need to refocus. We need to contact our senators. We need to tell them how important this is to all of us, that we see real, true relief and not just this constant barrage of unsound fiscal policy and passing the buck, if you will, and taking away localities' local control.
Mm-hmm. Auditor Keith, do you think there's a chance that these proposals that the auditors have suggested could become law this session, either in the state budget or in some other form of legislation?
Well, I don't know if it'll be a part of the state budget, but I think we're looking ahead. And, you know, there's a number of bills that have been introduced in the legislature that deal with tax reform. There have been a number of bills in the past. I think in the last session there were 20-some bills, but only two of them were actually acted upon. So we want to keep advocating our position. We want to keep the pressure on. And so we've been going around the state holding briefings. We've held one here in Hamilton County a couple of weeks ago. We've been to Athens. We've been to Youngstown. We've been to Springfield. We're going to be in Bowling Green. So we're going around the state advocating our position, trying to push for what we call real common sense reform.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that message is being heard, Auditor Miranda?
I hope so. Our event that we just held here in Hamilton County is kind of the first ever. Historically, we try to take a look back to see bipartisan auditor advocacy event to showcase to the public what we've been fighting for at the state level and why it's so important for them to help us now by calling their lawmakers and talking about the easiest, most simple thing they could do is expand that homestead program, and that would matter most to the people who need relief the most.
And Scott, what are you hearing from the state Senate? Do you have a sense for whether this 30% carryover plan is going to stay in the budget? What is your organization advocating?
Yeah, we're advocating to remove this. And we're hearing some encouraging comments. Senator Blessing's comments, I think, is pretty important, you know, to note. But we need to get to a majority of the Senate to take it out, and then hope that in conference committee negotiations that stays that way. I think one of the most powerful ways to deliver that message is just to show what this looks like at the local level. So, for example, you know, Lakota stands to have $27 million taken from their schools. That is nearly half of its entire rainy day fund for the district. A district like Monroe Could be losing 77% of its savings. New Lebanon, Huber Heights, Lachlan, St. Bernard, Elmwood Place. I mean, these are all places where the impact's going to be significant. And this is not any one particular type of district. These are red districts, blue districts, rural, suburban, and urban communities. So I'm very hopeful that common sense is going to prevail. You know, one of the ironies of this whole thing is that if this provision becomes law, you're likely to see districts go back to the voters more often to ask for more levies, which I think is exactly the opposite of what they want.
I've been talking with Hamilton County Auditor Jessica Miranda, Montgomery County Auditor Carl Keith, and Ohio Education Association President Scott DeMauro. Thank you all so much for your time today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.